RFID was hiding in the room apparently, and my friend was outside in his car. So they made me a cup of coffee, treat me very nicely, and then they said, Renu said, there was a knock at the door and it was her next door neighbour, and she said, oh, I have to give him some money to go and get the shopping. He didn't get the shopping, he went to call the police. Then the police came and I told them, look, it's a problem about heroin, her boyfriend's been taking heroin, it could have affected me, I'm extremely angry, and you know, what's happening? So they said, well, you've got to come down to the police station. And my friend was outside in the car, I had no need to tell him to come, but I trusted the police because we could sort it out there and then. We went to the police station and a policeman said to me, how can we sort this matter out? I said, okay, let me talk in front of you, the police, with Heidi. Then I can tell you all about the heroin, the AIDS, and her past problems. And then the policeman come back to me and said, she doesn't want to talk to you, she's relying on her rights. And I knew then I'd be in trouble because she's, do you know what she said? She said to we thought you'd come to kidnap my son Daniel, kidnap him. We thought you'd come to murder me. And the police were saying to my friend, you've come to threaten the lives of Norwegian citizens. Absolute nonsense. And that is the reason I stayed in the cells for the weekend. And when the police looked at my letters, there was a police interpreter there, she said that not one of my letters contained any threats. None of them. And she said Heidi was sick, and the policeman, Henrik Dudstadt, he said Heidi would never marry because of her condition. Now, the only reason she's married is because she's married a Christian fanatic. He's mad. Anyone who says Allah doesn't exist, come to Jesus, and speaking in tongues. And we've had a program on this in England 3 weeks ago called Every Man, about exorcism, exorcising the devil, yeah, then, you know, you've got to understand the other side of it. I'm furious. I mean, I never rape anybody or attempt to rape anybody. And we've got my Muslims suffering, you know, in... No, she hasn't told you that, because that's the reason I'm so angry. And I will send you a copy of the letter from Wessenberg, or in fact, you can phone up Wessenberg. He's actually in Oslo at court at the moment, but you can phone him up and you can say, when he reported to me in January, the first paragraph was attempted rape. And when I hear those words, it drives me crazy. And I've lost my temper and I've gone berserk, because when Heidi was in England in 1981, she had two abortions to a different guy, and I never slept with her. I was a good boy and strong. I'm 37 now and I'm still unmarried, and the reason is because I can't recover from the shock of what she's done to me. It's the injustice. I can't even sleep sometimes because of it. And when I hear attempted rape, I think of the Muslims in Sarajevo who are being raped, and it makes me feel sick. And that's the reason she's got to withdraw that accusation from the police. If she does that, then I will stop. Yeah, withdraw the allegation. She knows it's rubbish. She's not even saying rape. Attempted. It's just nonsense. And I want you to find out about the rape on the Bergen shopkeeper. Even when I was here in 1981 in England, she told me she was on holiday in Greece before she came to England, and some boys wanted to rape her, and they took her down in their vehicle, a heavy, I think it was a Land Rover, at knife point with a knife. And they were taking her to the woods to rape her. And she said to them that she's on her period, okay? And so they said to her, well, you prove you're on your period. So she took her pants down, opened herself up to show the blood, and then she said, they left me alone, okay? Now, that's the kind of story she's been saying. And No. This was in Greece in 1980. The shopkeeper in Bergen was, I think, the early 80s. And her best friend at the time, who lived, oh God, what's her name? Anne Christine. I have her phone number, and I phoned her up, and I said, Anne Christine, did Heidi ever tell you about the Bergen shopkeeper who wanted to rape Heidi, or tried? And she says, yes. No, it doesn't matter, but I'm trying to build up a picture of repeated allegations against people who she says have tried to rape her. And I spoke to her psychiatrist, and this is between you and me. I don't want this to go further, but her psychiatrist, Dr. Brock, in 1988, yeah, so are you going to do anything about it or not?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? What is that?
I don't think it's relevant.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What, to 13 years of sex terror, you don't think it's relevant?
No.
Why is that?
Well, that's my...
That's your opinion. Are you actually a racist? I mean, do you hate Muslims for the sake of it?
No.
Putting erotic paranoia and Muslims this, Muslims that. You don't. Well, anyway, what about your editor? Is he there?
No.
He's not there today.
No, you have to call Oslo.
Oslo?
Where the headquarters
is. Yeah. So, you're not printing a follow-up story, nothing?
Time, but I think I got your lawyer's number, but I'm busy doing other things for
him. So why do you want to bother to ring him if you're not going to do anything?
There might be a story later when the investigation is getting closer.
There's no investigation. There's no court case, no nothing. No police, nothing. I've talked to everybody and nothing's going to happen. And I tell you something, what you've done is made things worse for Heidi. Because if you think that I'm going to take the rubbish you've printed, then it'll be worse for her. And there's nothing you can do. You can print your rubbish, but if you knew her, if you bothered to investigate her past, then you'd see that my statement was all true. There's not one lie in my statement. And if she wants to go creating rubbish with the police, as she's done with many other men, then I, for one, am not going to take it. And you printing your stuff makes no difference to me.
Why don't
I just forget? Well, because she's made allegations to the police that could stick for the future. Okay? And I only discovered those allegations 9 years later. And if you knew what they were, then you too would do something about it. I'm not taking it. For her to allege what she's done will never be accepted by me or anyone. They're serious allegations and I'm not doing it. And the only reason I wrote those letters to her was to remind her, if you've got them, then you'll see them and there's nothing wrong with them. I've just reminded her of what she's done in the past and she's got to go to the police and tell them she's a liar. And the reason the police are doing nothing is because they know she's a liar. Right? You speak to the people that interviewed me, the policemen at the time, and they know she's sick and they told me so. I'm not going to have your system and your legal system that costs a lot of money and all the processes. I can't be bothered with that. That's why I wrote those letters to her. Okay? I mean, I know lots of Norwegian families. I've stayed with many of them. I've been over, with rock bands in the past. I'm not some stupid, you think I'm some Iranian fanatic going around shouting Allahu Akbar,
No, you're a lawyer or
something. Yes, I am, that's right. And in fact, I'm as Western as they come. And the business about being a half Arab and all the rest of it.
I'm a lawyer, just studying justice.
You are?
Are you studying justice or are you a lawyer?
I've been a full-time lawyer for years.
God.
Yeah, that's right. And the fact is, I know what I'm doing, And no one's going to take me to court, nothing. It's not a criminal matter, it's a civil matter, okay? And if you knew your civil law, there's nothing you can do. Which court? Yeah, that's right. So why are you saying there's an investigation?
Well, there is an investigation.
Well, in Drammen. Yeah, and what are they? What on earth are they going? I wanted the police. I wrote to.
In the paper, in the article that I wrote, I had a comment from the police officer that have started the investigation, and he got the papers and the copies of all those old things.
Yeah, but what? I got in touch with the drugs police officer at the Norwegian embassy, right? In February, I gave him all the papers and he sent them to the police. I said, do something about my case because...
Do you think you are the one who is...
Oh, definitely. I started legal proceeding. I asked my lawyer, Wessenberg, in Bergen, in Christmas, and the last week of Christmas, I said, reopen the matter, get my papers from the Bergen police and sue Heidi. Huh?
Last Christmas.
Yeah, last Christmas, before I wrote all those letters. And I said, reopen the case, sue her for wrongful arrest and for perverting the course of justice.
May I have a talk to Mr. Wessenberg?
May you? He's on holiday in Oslo. I mean, he's in court in Oslo, but you can... You can speak to him. You know his office in Bergen. Okay, you can speak to him, but the trouble is he's not going to tell you much because he's going to break the confidentiality. But I suppose he will tell you is that I contacted him way before all this, way before I wrote any of those letters, and he got in touch with the police, okay, and he gave me a full report, but he said he wasn't allowed to send me copies of my own letters that I'd written, in 1986, you see, I wrote letters to the police in 1986. I wrote letters to Heidi and her sister and her father. And I said, look, this girl's tried to take her life once already. And if you don't do anything, she's going to try again. And she did try again, okay? And she was that guy Johansson was taking heroin. And he's got a criminal record. It's all true. Okay, all that big long statement that you've got is all true. There isn't a single lie in it from me. Okay, and when someone has just discovered that he slept with a girl who's sleeping with a junkie, what are you going to do? If you slept with a girl and she's just told you, oh, my boyfriend's taking heroin, and I didn't discover that for 2 years. She told me when we were on good terms again, you know, old Goodman was injecting heroin. How do you think you'd feel if you knew that? Huh? She, time and time again, I've told her, and she's phoned me up for read. I'm doing, you know, the boys all are sleeping with me. They don't respect me. And if this carries on for so long, you've just had enough, and I had enough. Okay.
Well, good your point. But anyway, I have to run for
a meeting.
For a job just now.
Yeah.
But I tried to find this Wessenberg.
I mean, if you speak to Wessenberg, he will tell you that he did contact me. But there were some further investigations he had to make. And he, for the first time in 9 years, he wrote and told me that she'd made some allegations against me in December 1986. Okay, and I didn't know this for 9 years. And I knew that in the letter he wrote to me in early January. I think it was the first week in January. And when I read that, what she'd alleged, I went potty. And that's the reason for those letters. You know, those postcards.
Okay.
But he will not tell you the allegations she made. You can guess, but I'm not telling you. But she's made allegations, you know, against other people for the same thing, just to get them into trouble. And I tell you, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking that kind of rubbish. She's told everyone I'm obsessed with her and besotted. That's not the case at all. It's nonsense to say I was tracking her for 13 years. Absolute nonsense. And I can't take it. Yeah? So anyway...
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Yes? Just a moment.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, hi Mr. Jensen, it's Mr. Eldewani.
Hey.
Yeah, hi there. I had these newspaper articles translated for Drammen to Dender.
Yeah.
And Verdon's Gang. I had them translated last week.
Uh-huh.
And in it I read that I've threatened to kill Heidi's 9-year-old son. That I threatened to kill her neighbours unless they give me Heidi's address. That I've made 400 obscene, I've written 400 obscene letters and made obscene phone calls, and that my mother wanted to put me in a mental hospital. Yeah, and I it's all rubbish, all this. And obviously, this is dreadful stuff to print about me, and I was wondering if you have any evidence for any of this, apart from Heidi's word.
Well, there's nothing other than her
word. Yeah. It's just that I'm really upset about this threat to kill her 9-year-old son, because nothing is further from the truth. And if you went and talked to him, have you spoken to her son?
No.
Well, if you did, you will get the exact opposite, that he likes me very, very, very much. And she told me this in a letter. And I can't believe she does these things. If she wants to get me back, then she can get me back in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, by saying I sent stuff to her neighbours. But this, I mean, are the newspapers saying to you, what are you going to do about him threatening to kill everybody? Are they waiting for your response? The newspapers. Are they waiting for you to talk to them?
Yes, but perhaps they only write this because she took contact with the newspapers. I don't. The newspapers have tried to speak to us about this.
But why? The newspapers gave me your number.
Our number?
Yeah, they gave me your telephone number.
Yes. They were contacted with us, I think, when she had contacted the newspapers. But after that, we haven't heard from them.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're not going to take this... I mean, you don't believe her, do you?
No, I don't think I do.
Oh, good. Thank God for that, because... I mean, if you've got any, have you got even any of her letters that I wrote to her?
No.
You haven't got any letters?
I'm not sure. The case is with another person, with us.
Oh.
But there are some letters wrote by you.
Yeah.
To the neighbors and things like that.
The neighbours, I wrote, there must be a girl called Heidi Anita. And Asbjorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple that lived next door to her.
Yeah.
And that letter, I have nothing to hide. There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing, wrong with what I've written there. And, who's the name of the person that's, when could I speak to him at all?
Yes, but it's a lady. It's Kentoff.
How do you spell that?
Well, the opposite.
Sorry, the surname. I've got Toril and then...
Kentoff.
Yeah.
Toril.
Yeah.
E.
Yeah.
F.
Yeah.
O.
O.
S.
Enos.
Yeah.
Toril Enos.
Kentoff.
Oh.
But she's not here today.
Oh, when will she be here? Next week.
I think she will be back next week.
Okay. Will she be in the mornings or the afternoons?
No, in the mornings.
In the mornings.
Yes. From 8 to...
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, the stuff I wrote to you in my long reports, I mean, have you been able... I mean, it's all true, but have you been able to check any of the things to make sure you believe me?
No, but there are so much in the case from how she tells us.
Yeah.
That I don't trust her so very much.
Yeah. It's all to do. I went to Norway in 1990 because Johansson is the first occasion I had to confront Heidi because she was sleeping with that guy who was injecting heroin. And I even told the diplomat in London, in the Norwegian church, that I had this problem, because he was the drugs officer in the Norwegian embassy, and I told him beforehand all the problem, and I've been in touch with the embassy. Your police in Bergen, they refused to send me the evidence that was against me in 1990. We just couldn't get anything out of them, and I didn't know until last year that she had gone to the police in 1986 saying I'd attempted to rape her. And that's why I wrote all these, they weren't rude letters at all, but they were, you know, just telling her, pointing out her errors, because I don't like being accused of attempting to rape someone when I've not done it. But were you able to contact the Bergen police and talk to them about the allegation that she made against the Bergen shopkeeper of rape? She went to the police, yes, and many years ago, and she told them that a shopkeeper had raped her. Yes.
Mailed that to the police?
Yes. She went to the police, and even one of her old friends told me that there was this story going around, that she went to them and said either she was raped or someone had attempted to rape her. And she told me, you know, even when we met, that when she was on holiday, people wanted to rape her at knife point, you see. So she comes out with these stories which can cause terrible damage to me, you know. But her old boyfriend came to beat her up in 1990, and she reported him to the police. Was it you that she reported him to?
Oh.
He assaulted her.
I don't think so.
Because that's the reason that's one of the reasons she got me into trouble, because her boyfriend beat her up when he discovered that she was telling me about his heroin taking, you see. But are you absolutely sure that these things I have been sending to Heidi's neighbours are a criminal offence or a civil offence, because we can't understand how telling the truth can be a criminal offence. In England it's just a civil offence, because no crime can be committed if you tell the truth.
But there are something to tell to other person what the other person have said or what they have been through. So
it's very embarrassing, I know, but that was the reason I did it, to teach her a lesson. That, you know, if she wants to allege against me all these things, then what am I supposed to do? I can't just let her keep on with it. I mean, if I wrote to the Bergen police again and said, could you send me photocopies of the evidence you have against me? Ah. Yeah, why would that be?
We would send to you help the things we have, but we can speak about it. So you don't get it by post or by letters. But I must speak to Toril when she'll back.
Yeah.
I tell you about this phone call.
Yeah.
And tell her that you been touching her.
Yes, please. That's very nice. Yeah, I definitely will win next week. But I mean, am I going to be, you know, arrested if I come to Norway?
I don't think so. But the case isn't closed yet, but I think it will be in a short time.
Yeah, have you not spoken to Heidi in the last few weeks?
I haven't. I know she has tried to speak to her. I don't know if she has spoken to her yet.
Succeeded, yes, but okay. And I can assure you there is something funny with her husband. He check out the Christianity bit. You know, there is something funny going on with the Christian aspect. Because the way he spoke to me was, it was in a language from hundreds of years ago. You know, so I think, you know, it's definitely something to do with exorcism. Okay, well, thank you very much, and I shall ring next week.
Yes, do that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, hi, good morning. Is that Toril? Yeah, hi. Farid Al-Dawani here. Yeah, hi. I understand you've been looking into this into this matter with Heidi Schoen. Did you get my my letter? Good. Now, has it been of any use to you, all my stuff? When did you speak to them? The thing is, you see, I'm not really happy to leave it at that, because she has done dreadful things by telling the newspapers. You know, as I said to you in my letter, she said I threatened to kill her son, her neighbours, you know, and my mother wanted to put me in a mental hospital, and all the rest, 400 obscene letters, and it's not true. And I wanted to convince you that she was lying, and
I wanted you to actually talk to her in your police station and say to her, well, look, these are such terrible lies. How can you try and get this man into trouble? Because she wanted to get me into deep trouble. Yeah, you see, that's exactly the point, because you remember in 1990 in Bergen, when I was arrested in the police station, the policeman said to me, how can we sort this matter out? And I said, just get her to sit with me and you, the policeman, and the three of us will sit down and I will explain exactly why I've come. And I thought, good, at last I can have my say. And then the policeman came back to me and said, she doesn't want to talk to you, and that's her right. And so she told lots of lies to the police station in Bergen, that I'd come to kidnap her son, to threaten their lives, and that maybe I was God knows what, you know, maybe a drug pusher, and it took me all this time and hundreds of pounds with lawyers to try and get to find the evidence that she told the police, what she told the police, and I couldn't, they wouldn't give it to me. And she's avoiding you because she knows she's an awful liar. Well, what I want to do with it, I mean, I want you to honestly try and establish without doubt in your minds that she is telling lies, especially, I mean, talk to her son. Ask him, and you've got all my evidence and my story, and talk to him about it, the poor little thing. You know, I've lost sleep because of those awful things she said, and she's only saying it because of what I've written to her neighbours.
I want to come across to Haiti. I can work to her again.
I
say that you have to meet me at my office.
Yes, please.
And I shall consultation about what she has said and what you say.
Yes.
Then we can talk
again. When do you think I can phone you again then? In a month's time?
I shall try to come to the next week. If you call me in
2 or 3 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
If I have closed the case or she has given an explanation about what's happening.
I mean, do you not have the power to charge her with perverting the course of justice? Because in telling you this about threatening to kill everybody, you know, she wants me to be arrested and taken to court. And that is definitely perverting the course of justice. And, I mean, something has to be done to her to make her realize that she can't do these things. Oh, you haven't?
No, because you don't want to come here. And every time I ask her to come here, her husband has come to me.
Yes, exactly, because that illustrates my case perfectly, because she knows she is an awful liar. And, exactly. So I'm not going to, you take your time, but the only way you are going to talk to her is if you go to see her in her home and you use your authority as a police officer.
But I would try...
All right. Yeah. I mean, I honestly have told you 100% truth in what I've written to you. None of it is exaggerated. Do you actually know what... Does she do anything for a living? Is she just a housewife, do you know? And what on earth does her husband do? Is he in the church? Is he some kind of... He keeps talking to me about Jesus. Jesus and exorcism and funny language and... for 5 minutes. I just never heard it. It's unbelievable. I think is he being rehabilitated from drugs or alcohol?
Yeah.
Well, I'll ask him all this business about why he speaks to me in tongues and in biblical language. Yeah. Finally, just one more thing. Do you think the newspapers will apologize, print an apology to me?
I don't think so.
Oh. Could you once you finish the case, could you talk to the newspapers and tell them that what your conclusions are? I mean, you have they will want to know from you what your.
But I have no right to go to the newspapers because I don't have authority to. Talked about the case with a newspaper.
But they came to you. They contacted you, didn't they?
That's the right way.
Ah.
I can't go to them.
Oh, you can't.
Ah.
I can. Okay. Well, also, when you do go down there, speak to her neighbours. Ask them if I threatened their lives, and the rest of it. Anyway, thank you very much, and I'll give you a call in maybe 2 weeks' time. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes, hello, good evening. I presume it's your wife, Ingen Roren?
Okay.
The journalist, yeah?
The journalist, one moment.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yes, hi there, Ingen. It's Fareed Al-Ghawani here. Sorry to phone you at your home.
Uh-huh.
Just about 3 weeks ago, I had your article translated into English.
Yes.
And I see that you've written that I've threatened to kill Heidi's son. I've threatened to kill Heidi's son.
Yes, according to Heidi.
You wrote that, yeah, and you believe her, do you?
I'm sure, but that's what she says. And I'm not saying that you did, but I'm
yeah.
Sure she says you did.
Because I certainly didn't, and, you know... There's no way that you should print this without, you can't print this sort of stuff without some evidence. You know she's been in a psychiatric unit. You know her past because you had those letters translated into Norwegian.
Yeah.
And it's just disgraceful. And my mother's never wanted to put me in a mental hospital. And you could have checked that out easily. That's an obvious lie to make because her parents wanted to put her in a psychiatric unit when she was a teenager.
And how come you're still so interested in hiding?
Because I've just discovered what you've printed.
Yes, but I thought you read that a long time ago.
No, I didn't. I only read one article, which was...
Yeah, but I've only written one article.
No, I read... It was in all the newspapers. It was in... Burgundy Dender, and that's what I had translated. But only a fortnight ago, no, 4 weeks ago, did I have your article translated, and it's just as well, isn't it? Because it's a good thing that I know what you write about me, and that I've threatened to kill her neighbours, her family. I've written 400 obscene letters. It's all rubbish. you know, and you know perfectly well it's rubbish. And you know also, the reason I sent those books on AIDS and abortions is because she slept with someone taking heroin, and she knew she could catch AIDS, she knew she was putting herself at risk, and she had two abortions.
Yeah, but what's that to you?
What's that to me? Because I bloody well slept with her while she was...
Yeah, but that's your problem.
Yeah, but it's also her fault as well. It's my problem for sure. But you should know the reason why I sent those letters to try and teach her a lesson. You've printed something that totally misled the public just to get a sexy...
Yes, but if you have a problem with that, you have to contact the editor.
Yeah, I will contact the editor.
Yes,
the police, she doesn't even want to contact the police, Heidi. She's avoiding them because they haven't closed the case yet and they don't believe her.
She has contacted the police and they do believe her.
No, they don't believe her.
They do.
When was the last time she spoke to the police then? She has never spoken to Toril Yenos. Never. Okay?
She's spoken to Ned Reikis, police in the community where she's living.
Sven Jensen.
She has spoken to them and
she has
a report on you.
You gave me the number.
Yes.
And it's Sven Jensen, he told me he doesn't believe her, but they have to go, they have to let Toril Yenos speak to her. And Toril has been trying to get in touch with her for months, and Heidi's avoiding them.
Well, that's not what I've heard. But if you have a problem with what I wrote, you have to contact the editor.
Yeah, I will contact the editor, but...
His responsibility of what...
Yeah, but you wrote the story.
Yes, but it's his responsibility. He is the one who selects what to print and what not to print.
Well, okay, when the police have... She's not bringing a case. I mean, 10 months, I wish she would bring a case so I can show her up in court, because she's got no evidence. There's no 400 letters. She destroyed them all. And you'd have thought she'd have kept them, wouldn't you, for her case?
I've seen some of the letters and she has not destroyed them.
Yeah, and what's wrong with the letters? What have I said in the letters that's so bad?
You said lots of things, but that's your problem. You have to take it up to Heidi.
Yeah, I will take it up with her, but also I'll take it up with you when I pay you a visit. And if I have to bring the police with me, I will. So help me God, you're not going to get away with this. You didn't print my name either, did you? Why is that?
What? I didn't.
Why didn't you print my name in the newspapers if it's all true?
Why should I?
Because every other newspaper does if they've got their facts right.
Yeah, but if you have still have problems, please call the editor.
Yeah, I will call the editor, but you are going to have to face me, even if I bring the police. And I'll get their blessing first. I'll ask them first.
I don't think you'll get it.
I think I will, because they said to me that they cannot contact the newspapers themselves, but I can. And I will say to them, look, I'm going to go round there and you're welcome to be at the front door when I do. And if they don't want to be there, then I'll face you and your bloody editor. And you try and deal with us. Okay? Because you're not getting away with it. You know that... Yeah, I'll call the editor, but you are the one that wrote the story.
Yes.
It's you...
He's the one who's responsible, and his name is Obda, and you have to call him at work tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll certainly do that, but don't you worry, you're not going to get away with it.
Yes.
And
bye-bye.
Yeah, piss off, you bitch.